if the truth was preached to us with no ambiguity, clearly, unconditionally, pure gospel is preached. You know what? We'll go to God with boldness. We'll come to God and say, Father, I thank you. Thank you for loving me. And you won't come to God with a servile spirit, a servant spirit. You come to God with a son. So you go to God and you're not afraid. You say, God, thank you, Father, for loving me. Father, in Jesus' name, this coming week, Lord, you can ask God for anything that you want. Amen. And trusting that you are as near to him as Jesus is. There's a revelation that's breaking forth. I feel it in my spirit. Amen. And the reason you pray is not to get close. You pray because you are close. You are taking advantage of your position of influence, even with God, your Father. Amen. You're taking your place as sons and daughters when you pray. When you worship, you are declaring your love and your worth of the one you're worshiping because you are close to him.
Grace empowers you to live victoriously above your circumstances and break free from the bondages that weigh you down. In today's message, hear Joseph Prince expound on how grace is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn how his grace is the power of God that brings salvation and breakthrough in your area of need. Find out how to live above defeat and overcome the enemy's tactics in Joseph's book, Will the Real Gospel Please Stand Up? Yours today for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Reign over the power of sin through the abundance of grace and God's great gift of righteousness. Request your copy now. And now, here is Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
How many of us, we pray, the moment you say, Father, you know God hears your prayer. You have a conscience, I'll be careful what I pray because God hears my prayer. He will answer it. Do you feel that way? Or do you feel like, Father, God? Then we try to impress our friends. El Shaddai, El Elyon, you know? Now, knowing the names of God is wonderful. I teach on the names of God. And that's why it's the Old Testament names of God that is taught. And I believe that it's still applicable today, yes. But the name by which Jesus came to reveal is Father. My son calls me Abba. The reason being because I thought many years ago when I read in the New Testament, you know, we have received the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. I thought that, okay, my son will call me Abba so that next time when he reads the Bible, the portion that says Abba, he will identify me and feel the love of the Father, you know? I asked him yesterday, what message shall I preach tomorrow? I already got my message ready. He looked at me. For the first time, he says, Paul. Preach on Paul. Usually it's Elijah, Jonah, you know, Moses. First time he says Paul. And I was planning to touch on what Paul received from the Lord. Do you know there was one time, Paul, you know when, who got saved first? Peter got saved first or Paul got saved first? Remember, y'all don't talk to me. Peter got saved first or Paul got saved first? Who got saved first? Peter, right? All right, for the British friends. Peter. Peter. Okay, Peter got saved first. Paul got saved later. In fact, after Jesus died and rose again, Paul got saved. He was knocked off his high horse, literally, on his way to Damascus, right? And the Lord appeared to him from heaven. So Peter was familiar with the earthly Jesus, but Paul, his first encounter with Christ is the glorified, ascended Christ. Okay? So watch this now. What constitutes walking, not walking according to the gospel? I want to show you something that seems so mundane, but it's put there in the Gospels for all of us to see, or rather in the letters of Paul. It's an occasion where Paul, who was saved after Peter, rebuked Peter. Paul rebuked Peter. Wow! On what occasion? Did Peter commit some major sin? Was he watching porn? Was he slapping someone? What did he do? Did he slap his mother-in-law because she got healed? What was the problem here? It was over food. Let me read you the story, all right? Galatians. And then we're going to see the truth here. When Peter came to Antioch, now Paul is writing, when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, Peter ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James is a Jewish leader in Jerusalem, all right? And he's a brother of Jesus, natural brother. Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result,
other Jewish believers followed Peter's what? Hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles, yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Is it clear? And in the King James, I like the King James, instead of not following the truth of the gospel, it says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Walk not uprightly. This is more accurate because in the Greek, it is the word, walk not uprightly is the word orthopedos. Orthopedos. Orthopedic. Where we got an English word, orthopedic. Your legs. Walking. So literally, it's, they walk not uprightly. What is walking uprightly according to the gospel? This is important. You know, there's a promise in the Old Testament that says, no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from those that walk uprightly. Right? So what is walking uprightly today? Walking according to the truth of the gospel. Acting like you are righteous when you pray. Amen? I'm not talking about self-righteousness. Self-righteousness comes when you don't accept the righteousness that God gives. So you have to self-manufacture the righteousness, which is what a lot of sinners are trying to do. God hates self-righteousness. This is walking uprightly, believing that you are loved, believing that all your sins are forgiven, believing that when you pray, you are so near to God, and that when you pray, it's as if Jesus is praying. That's praying in Jesus' name. That's walking uprightly. Now, today when you pray, Old Testament prayer, oh God, oh Lord, hear my prayer, Lord, hear my prayer, Lord. It's really abomination. Why? You're acting like you are a sinner, crying to God for mercy. Now, I'm not saying that we don't receive mercy. The Bible says we come boldly to the throne of grace, then we obtain mercy and find grace. There's still mercy and there's still grace for us today to find. In our daily needs, necessities and all that, we still receive that. But I'm saying that what you are before God is that you cannot get any closer to Him than you already are in Christ. Amen? Isn't that good? Now, I want to wrap this up by showing you something. There's this confusion. Today, we are preaching sin to the Christians, to the believer, to the righteous ones. And then, there are messages that's meant for the sinner, we are preaching to the believer. So the believer never gets out of this sin consciousness. We're preaching the law to the believer. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And the believer never rises up to their potential. This is very important that you get this. The Bible says that once Jesus sacrificed work at the cross, how many believe His sacrifice worked once and for all? The Bible says it worked. By one sacrifice, Hebrews 10:11. Every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. The Old Testament, the priests are standing. Say standing. Stands. Ministering daily. Say daily. And offering repeatedly. Say repeatedly. The same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Say one sacrifice for sins forever 3 times. Come on. One sacrifice. Even though you say it 3 times, okay, it's one sacrifice. Don't forget, it's one sacrifice for sins for how long? Forever. So compared with ministering, offering repeatedly, Jesus only had to offer one sacrifice. And the effectiveness is forever. Instead of them standing daily, He sat down. His work is finished. So the result is what? Go back to verse 1. The Bible says, verse 1, the law having a shadow of good things
and not the very image of the things, can never with those same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. Perfect in terms of conscience. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. In other words, if those sacrifices in the Old Testament work, if the blood of bulls and goats work one time, there's no need to offer them repeatedly. But because the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. Right? Now, did Jesus one sacrifice for sins forever? Purified us once and for all. It worked. How many say it worked? We should have what? No more sin consciousness. Am I reading a different Bible? Are you all seeing what I'm showing? Are we reading the same Bible? It's the Bible, right? So it seems that under the New Testament, God is saying by realizing that by walking in no more sin consciousness, you're actually giving tribute to what Jesus did. Am I right? But under the Old Testament, for a sinner, he starts boasting, you know, I'm okay. I don't need Jesus. I'm pretty okay. I don't think I'm a great sinner or whatever. You know, then you bring the law. You bring the law in. He says, never committed adultery. You tell him, has he lusted for a woman? He says, never committed murder. You bring in. Has he ever hated? Am I right? By the law is knowledge of sin. So under the law, it's true. You got to make people sin conscious before they realize their need for the Savior. And that's the purpose for all the prophets in the Old Testament, bringing people to the end of themselves. Jesus' sermon also, some of his sermons here and there, you can see that he's bringing them to the end of themselves. Under grace. To have sin consciousness is to say the payment has not been made. Let's just say you owe Pastor Gabriel $100,000. I don't know how he gave you in the first place. I don't know if he had the money. All right? This is just illustration. Please don't come to him, okay? After this. $100,000. You owe him $100,000 and you can't pay him. Actually, you meant to pay him. You meant well. You thought the ship would come in, the business would come in, but it didn't. The ship had a shipwreck. Something happened. Your ship didn't come in, okay? There's no money now to pay him on the deadline. So when you see him in the mall, what do? You avoid him, right? Amen? If he goes into, you are in the gents and he goes into the gents, you run out from the cubicle, you go into the ladies, right? I mean, you try to avoid him as much as you can. Right? You avoid him. Am I right? Why? Because there's debt on your conscience. You are conscious of he reminds you of what? Your debt. Are you listening? You know why the world is, they don't acknowledge God. Some of them don't talk about existence of God. Because to talk about God means to talk about your sin. So they don't acknowledge that. Amen. Because God reminds them of their sin. It's instinctive. To seek Pastor Gabriel is to remind you of your debt. And in one day, you didn't know this happened. A billionaire. He hears about your predicament. Now, he's loved you. And in fact, he knows your father and respect your father very much. And your father helped him many years ago. So anyway, you do not know much about him. And he paid your debt. He comes to Pastor Gabriel and says, how much does this guy owe you? And Pastor Gabriel says, $100,000. Here, he writes a check for $1 million. And he's a billionaire. He writes a check for $1 million. Now, I'm in a hurry. I got to go to Paris. I got to fly in tonight. In fact, I'm a bit late. I got to rush off. So he sends Joseph Prince to give you the message that your debt has been paid. All right? Joseph, go tell this guy who owes you money, who owes him money, all right, his debt is paid. So here I am, okay? I go to you, okay? Now I say, this guy, right, the billionaire, you heard this billionaire? Yeah, I heard of him before. He says he knows your dad. In fact, your dad helped him many years ago. He really was very grateful. And he heard about your predicament and something like that. What did he do? He paid. I think he paid. Maybe he didn't pay. He could have paid. But maybe he didn't pay everything. Maybe he paid some, your past, but not your present. I do not know what it is, but I heard the word paid lah. Now, what is that called? Lousy communicator, right? So the problem today
is that in the pulpit, we have a situation whereby, you know, it's not a clear message. It's not a clear clarion call, right? Trumpeting the forgiveness of sins and the perfection of Jesus' work. But let me ask you this. Is your debt already paid? In reality, is it paid? Yes, but because of my communication, the way I talk to you, will you still have debt on your conscience? Yes. So whenever you see Pastor Gabriel, what do? You run off again into the ladies' toilet. Now, is it paid? Is it paid? It's paid. It is paid, right? Yes. But the communication didn't come across. So you still have that debt on your conscience. Then he sends, one day, he calls up and asks Pastor Lawrence, did Pastor bring deliver the message? Oh, I was there. It wasn't very clear. You paid for everything, is it? Not only I paid, I gave I gave Pastor Gabriel 1 million. Pastor Lawrence says, what? Then Pastor Lawrence went straight to you, right? Say, hey, bro, you know what happened? Not only he paid, your sin debt is paid. Your money debt is paid. It's not only paid, he gave $1 million. You say, what? For my $100,000, he gave $1 million. You say, yeah. Oh, Pastor Lawrence is a good communicator. Right? Is it clear? It's clear, right? Now, are you afraid of Pastor Gabriel? No, you say, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? He has become enriched because of you. Am I right? Am I right? You will seek him out. And when you see him, right, say, hey, Pastor Gabriel, come here. Hey, don't run off. Then you see Pastor Gabriel, turn around. He said, yo, bro, what's happening? He said, I know you, Pastor. Hey, you become rich because of me, you know. And he said, yeah, Lord, you know. Why didn't you come and tell me? I'm not the communicator, why? Pastor Prince. Then you say, hey, give me a treat, line. At least give me a treat, come on. Not to this one of the, not this local hawker center, no. Just give me nice, plush, you know, restaurant, real, 3 Michelin, 4 Michelin stars. Come on, give me a treat at least. You ask for that, right? You're no more afraid to talk to him, am I right? You're not afraid to even ask from him, right? You understand? Right? Same thing. Do you know, if you know the value of Jesus Christ, that one man, if you know his worth, the intrinsic value he has before the Father, it's as if God paid, all right? The love of God paid to the justice of God. We owe God because of our sin. We owe God the reverence, the obedience, the holiness, his place as God. We as the created being, we owe God. We have robbed God of his glory. But instead of that, all right, Jesus came and paid to God because of his worth. It's a payment of like 1 million for, actually, it's a bad illustration. He's worth more than that. You understand? Okay? For your $100,000 sin debt. It's an overpayment. In a sense, God has become a gainer because of what Jesus did. That's why in the New Testament, it's much more, much more, much more. What Jesus did is much more than what Adam did. And then, if the truth was preached to us with no ambiguity, clearly, unconditionally, pure, the pure gospel is preached. You know what? We'll go to God with boldness. We'll come to God and say, Father, I thank you. Thank you for loving me. And you won't come to God with a servile spirit, a servant spirit. You come to God with a son. Abba, thank you. Thank you, Abba. And Abba, while I'm here, Lord, I thank you for that bread, Lord, of healing. All right? The children's bread is actually healing, right? For that daughter. I'll just take this, Lord, and I'll just take that, Father. And the more you take from him, the more he's happy. Why? Because faith is the hand that takes. Amen? Jesus' one indictment against his disciples, very frequent on his lips, is, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Why? Love is the hand that gives. Faith is the hand that takes. Even when you understand this, you'll be so blessed. You'll be encouraged. Even his rebukes are encouraging. What does it mean when he tells you, oh, you have little faith? He's saying,
I'm so full. Why do you take so little from me? I'm so capable. I'm so able. Why do you trust me so little? Oh, such an encouragement. That even his rebukes are encouraging. Amen? So you go to God and you're not afraid. You say, God, thank you, Father, for loving me. Father, in Jesus' name, this coming week, Lord, you can ask God for anything that you want. Amen? And trusting that you are as near to him as Jesus is. The moment you take your place like a sinner, pretending to be humble and that kind of thing, it's an abomination because you're pretending to be what you are not. Don't condemn the righteous. Don't condemn yourself. That's an abomination. Have you learned something today? Give God a praise and the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So right now, I'm going to pray a prayer over you right now in Jesus' name. And I believe that God's going to do something great for you this coming week because there's a revelation that's breaking forth. I feel it in my spirit. Amen. And the reason you pray is not to get close. You pray because you are close. You are taking advantage of your position of influence, even with God, your Father. Amen. You're taking your place as sons and daughters when you pray. When you worship, you are declaring your love and your worth of the one you're worshiping because you are close to him. You're closer than Daniel. You're closer than Elijah. You're closer than David. You're closer than Elisha. You're closer than Moses. You're closer than Jonah. You're closer than anyone in the Old Testament. And that's why Jesus says that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, who is the greatest of all the prophets. Your position is greater than any prophet in the Old Testament. You're a son. They are servants. The sons of God, use your position right now. Amen. When you pray, are you conscious? Why don't you practice that right now? Practice the spirit of sonship right now. And I'll speak a word to you who are here today and you say, Pastor Prince, I'm not sure I'm safe. I'm not sure that I'm a child of God. Friend, you are the very one that Jesus came for. Jesus loved you so much, and all you gotta do is just acknowledge I'm a sinner. Don't avoid that. Don't go through bad experiences to realize finally that you are a sinner. Amen. But once you say I'm a sinner, Jesus says, no problems. I'm your savior. I came to die for sinners. And that's how you become born again. That's how you become righteous. By confessing first, this confessing your sins, that I am a sinner. So if that is you right now, wherever you are, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner, but I thank you. Christ died for sinners. On that cross, Jesus bore my sins, took my judgment, and died in my place. And you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and you have raised him for my justification. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you. Amen. I praise you. Hallelujah.
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. Watch your breakdowns transform into breakthroughs when you have a personal encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ and catch a revelation of his amazing grace. Discover this and more in Joseph's book, Will the Real Gospel Please Stand Up? This book is available for a gift of any amount to the ministry in support of our broadcast and outreach initiatives. For a gift of $55 or more, we'll send you 5 copies of the book to bless and encourage your loved ones. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to request yours today. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
Stand to your feet for the blessing. You see, when I bless you, I don't bless you in a way like, I hope God soothes your soul. When your colleague asks you for prayer and say that, or come to you for your problem, you say that, can I pray for you? Then he says, well, it's very comforting for prayer to have prayer this time. No, I'm not going to comfort you. I'm going to pray that God will come in with his miracle. God will give you a miracle. I'm praying for a miracle. All right, that will open many doors, friends. The world is looking for certainties. The world is looking for sureness. Amen? And we can be sure. First of all, be sure that God loves you. We know and believe the love that God has for us. The Lord bless you this coming week and your children. The Lord bless you and your loved ones. The Lord make his face shine on you, and the Lord himself keep you, preserve you and your families throughout this week from every danger, harm, and from all evil. The Lord lifts up his countenance, his beautiful, radiant countenance upon you, smile on you throughout this week, and grant to you and your loved ones his shalom, peace, wellness, and health in every area of your life. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling.
I want to take a moment to thank a very special group of people, Grace Legacy Builders. You know who you are. You're the ones who make this possible. Because of your generosity, lives are changed, bondages broken, and families set free from decades of wrong belief. Every praise report we receive, and we get many every day, is a testimony of God's grace and a testament of your faithful support of our ministry. Thank you for making a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you greatly.
Be a Grace Legacy Builder today. Your giving powers our ability to keep sending the gospel of grace to the world. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to start building. Tune in to church online.
I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online.
Experience a time of worship, Holy Communion, and a timely word from Pastor Prince. Join our live chats and connect with fellow Grace believers. Text CHURCH to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/church to get started.
What if there was a better way to navigate some of life's biggest challenges? Introducing Grace Academy. Featuring brand new content from Joseph Prince, Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you navigate some of life's hardest questions.
I pray these resources will inspire and equip you to live confidently every day.
Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA.
Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.